Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I do every week, I will remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today, Lord, asking your blessing. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom, give us insight, give us the discernment that we need to be able to understand your word. Father, we pray that you will take what's spoken today and that you will use it to accomplish your purpose and your will. And as far as edification of your church, Lord, we are here to study, to be strengthened, and to be prepared for the future. So, Lord, I pray that you will give us the wisdom and insight that we need. Might the Spirit of God not be hindered in any way. Might it be free to teach and instruct us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible in front of you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 16. Today we're going to return back to the book of Revelation. And as we do, we're coming back to the bowl judgments. These bowl judgments are the final judgments which will be poured out on the earth right before the return of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, 21 through 22, and then 27 through 30, read like this. Jesus said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Tremendous passage. So far in our study here in the bowl judgments, we've looked at six of the bowls. We looked at bowl number one, that's open sores that'll come upon all those that take the mark of the beast. Bowl number two, the oceans will congeal and become like the blood of a dead man, and all the life in the oceans will die. Bowl number three, the freshwater supplies, the springs and the fountains and the rivers and the lakes, all fresh water will be turned to blood. Bowl number four will be poured out upon the sun, and the sun's power will increase, and it'll scorch men with an extreme heat and burn the men. Bowl number five is a darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist. Bowl number six, which we focused on last week, as the Euphrates River dried up. And I want to go back to that, if I could, this week. Watch verses 12 through 16 of Revelation 16. It said, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Before we get to the seventh bowl judgment, we need to once again be reminded that these judgments are literal. And they are not figurative, and they are not a description of something that has happened in the past, as many would have us to believe. These are future judgments that will be poured out on the earth at the end of the great, at the end of the great tribulation, as the tribulation comes down to an end. Again, I'll remind you of the words of Garland concerning the literal interpretation, and he says this, and I quote, "When one cuts the tether of literal interpretation, all manner of strange understandings result, and it's nearly impossible for the actual text to adequately constrain the imagination of the interpreter. Also, it becomes impossible for God to describe cataclysmic judgments, even if he wanted to. For interpreters would be forever reinterpreting them as symbolism or allegory. We believe the details given in the descriptions of the judgments point strongly in the direction of a literal interpretation," unquote. That's what we believe here at the Claysburg Bible Church also. Let me get you back to our text. Bowl number 7, earthquake and hail. Watch verse 17. "And his seventh angel poured out his vow into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" This bowl is poured out into the air. This could very well be judgment upon Satan and his demons. Let us remember what happened at the midpoint of the tribulation, I should say, or will happen. I say it happened because we've already studied it. In Revelation 12, 7 through 9, we read this, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So Satan is cast out of heaven, so now all he has is the realm of the air in the middle of the tribulation to exist in, he and his fallen angels with him. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we read this, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that worketh in that now worketh in the children of disobedience." One of Satan's titles is the prince of the power of the air. Once he's cast out of heaven, his domain is limited to the air or the atmosphere of the earth. This seventh bowl is poured into the air, which very well could be the realm of Satan. Now, let me share with you what we can possibly connect to this. Revelation chapter 20, listen to this, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. There are some who believe this binding of Satan happens when the seventh bowl is poured out. Let me give you another verse that may connect with this also. Revelation 18, 1 and 2. Listen to this. "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen and has fallen, and is become the habitation of devils in the hold of every foul spirit in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.' The demons are confined to the wasteland of Moab and Babylon during the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Satan will be bound in chains until the 1,000 years are past." We will look at this when we get to those chapters that are yet future. Getting back to the point, when this bold judgment is poured out into the air, it's possible that Satan and his demons are the recipients of part of this judgment. Watch verse 17 again. It said, "And the seventh angel poured out his vow into the air. It was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" The phrase "it is done" is referring to the fact that this is the final act of judgment before the return of Jesus Christ. Watch verse 18. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great." Here in this verse, the angel or the Holy Spirit draws our attention to the great earthquake. It's going to be so great that it will far exceed anything that ever happened prior to this. There was an earthquake which happens during the seal judgments. It was very devastating. Revelation 6, 12 through 14 says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's a powerful earthquake. It moves every island and every mountain out of their places. It tells us of the severity of the earthquake. Haggai spoke of this earthquake. Haggai 2, 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. God will shake all nations. The earthquakes of Revelation, listen to this, they are different. They're not the same as what we see today. What we see today is the result of the curse on the earth and the groaning and travailing and pain as the earth anticipates a day when the curse will be lifted. Romans 8, 22 and 23 read like this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The earthquakes of today are the results of the curse, as the earth anticipates the day when the curse will be lifted. The earthquakes of the tribulation are the result of God shaking the earth. When he shakes the earth in this seventh bowl, the world will be devastated. Listen to what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 24, 17 through 21. He says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in a snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. That's the description of what's taken place. Listen to the impact in Revelation 16:19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. First, we see that the great city is divided into three parts, and this most likely refers to Jerusalem. What does this refer to, though? What's it mean to be divided into three parts? There are some who believe this will be the will not be a judgment on Jerusalem, but it is for the purpose of enhancing the city. Let's remember that all of this is happening as Jesus is returning to establish his kingdom. Listen to what Zechariah says in Zechariah 15, 4 through 9. He says this. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Many believe this, that God will open a spring on Mount Zion and it will flow through and out of Jerusalem for the entire kingdom. Listen to verse 8 again of what I just read for you out of Zechariah 15. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be. So this, whenever it says in verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts, that could open these springs up for them to flow. Watch verse 19 again. And the city, the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. It's an interesting statement here. Every city of the Gentiles will be destroyed. Watch the verse again. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Did you catch that? Cities of the nations, the cities of the Gentiles fell. Listen to the words of Barnhouse on that verse. Man has a proverb that God, and I quote, man has a proverb that God made the country and man made the town. Truly, these great cities of the earth are heartless and cruel, and those who have lived close enough to their hearts to hear their poisonous beats know how much evil is hid behind the great lights of the world's great masses. They are all to fall, we believe, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that this prophecy covers Peking and Philadelphia, Moscow and Melbourne, Berlin and Buenos Aires, Cairo and the Cape, Bombay and Boston, Istanbul and Chicago, Naples and New York. In short, all the cities shall be destroyed. It cannot be otherwise. Unquote. What a devastating earthquake that devastates and destroys all the cities of the world. The verse tells us that Babylon will come into remembrance and she will experience the wrath of Almighty God. This will be described in Revelation 17 and 18. Watch 16:20 again. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Every island and every mountain will be destroyed whenever this earthquake takes place. That's how severe the earthquake is. Jeremiah chapter 4, 23 through 28. Listen to what Jeremiah wrote. He said, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens shall be black, because I have spoken it. I have proposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. When this earthquake takes place, every island flees, and the mountains are not found. We can't imagine the devastation. Massive tsunamis, devastating floods, beyond anything that our minds can even begin to wrap around at this time. Watch verse 21. That's not all. Verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. The last part of this plague is hailstones that will be more than 100 pounds. It's interesting here that some people will dodge the hailstones because we see in this verse that they will continue to blaspheme God because of the hail. Let me say this. Over and over we read that they will continue to blaspheme God. Verse 11 of chapter 16 says the same thing. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Verse 9 says, and the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. Verse 9, verse 11, and now verse 21. Let me explain something very frightful to you, if I could. These people have reached a point of no return because of the hardness of their hearts. Not even supernatural acts of moving every island and every mountain, 100-pound hailstones, scorching heat, blistering sores, ocean congealed, killing all the life in the ocean, all fresh water being turned to blood. And then on top of that, the trumpet judgments and the seal judgments. Not even supernatural acts will change their minds. Not even supernatural acts. Because what they have done is that they have hardened their hearts, and here they are now with these hard hearts. And now they blaspheme God for the plague of hail. They know where it's coming from. They know what it's all about, and they curse God in the midst of it. Those who know the Lord at this time will have a new view of Psalm 46. Listen to what Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Sounds familiar. That's prophetic in the sense that it looks toward the tribulation and it describes what is going on. But the most important thing that we need to understand is that in verse 1, they say God is our refuge and strength. They have a new perspective on this verse now, because now this verse becomes their theme verse. These verses become their theme verses for their life as they do all they can to survive. Listen to Isaiah 43 through 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Listen, that time is going to be so devastating to the world. But that's crystal clear. But what I want you to understand is this, that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're playing with fire. As Pastor Richie used to say, you're walking over hell on a rotten net, and at any moment you could break through and plunge into the flames. At any moment. If you don't know Christ as Savior, and you continue to reject the gospel, just know this, that you, every time you do, you harden your heart. You harden it. Harder and harder and harder. Till it gets to the point of not only will you not trust in Christ, but you will not be able to trust in Christ. Remember Pharaoh? We just take Pharaoh. And Moses and Aaron would come into his presence, and they would tell him what was going to happen with the plagues. And Pharaoh had opportunity after opportunity to repent, and he wouldn't do it. And he would just continue down this path of rebellion. And so the Bible tells us that he hardened his heart, and the Bible also tells us that God hardened his heart. It's frightening. Think that God hardens a man's heart. But he does, because he rejects over and over and over again. And so Pharaoh continues down this path of rebellion until finally after the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, he tells them to get out. And so they get out and they go, and God leads them, and he takes them over by the edge of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, Pharaoh and the Egyptians, think that they are penned in and that there's no way that they can get out. So they begin to pursue them. And as they pursue them, God comes between Israel and the Egyptians, and he protects Israel that night. And then he has Moses stretch out his rod over the sea, and God parts the waters, and Israel goes through on dry ground. Now, you would think, after all that went on, that Pharaoh wouldn't take a step in between the water walls of water. You would think that would be the case. But he's blinded to what went on before. He's blinded to this supernatural miracle that takes place. And so he goes right on in to the Red Sea between the two walls of water. The wheels fall off the chariots. The walls of water come back in. They all drowned. The point I want you to understand is this. That's what rejection, that's what sin will do to you. It'll cause you to be blinded to supernatural events in which God may use in your life to try to get you, to bring you to repentance. And your heart becomes so hard that you will not, and then you get to the point where you cannot do it. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You must come to Christ today. You must. Where you're at, you must stop whatever you're doing and repent and cry out to God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God wants to save you, but you have to want it. You have to want it. You have to desire to know Christ. He wants to save you. Trust in him. I'm out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, I'll just remind you that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the message that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.